This week's mailbag comes to us from Diane. Dear Lisa, I just came from my son's 504 meeting. I felt the need to email you the result of meeting with you and the others during the Warrior Mama session at the paper organizing retreat. I had my Warrior Mama binder and the notes from the discussion. You asked me, do you want accommodations for the rest of his schooling, or do you want to fill in the gaps of his learning? I brought that up in the meeting, and what can we do to fill in the gaps? I do have great communication with his teacher, and now with her help, I was able to get the OT I've been asking for over a year. My son has terrible handwriting and spelling. We need help with his space awareness as well as letter formation and some other things. He's still in elementary school, and this needs to be addressed with strategies now before he gets to middle school. Thank you for having the Warrior Mama session at the retreat. I was able to feel more confident in what I was asking for. The assistant principal is having her son evaluated next week. She was very interested in the Warrior Mama binder. I also told the group about your book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization, your website, and the paper organizing retreat. They were all very interested. Thank you again for giving us Warrior Mamas the tools that we need. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, Emily and I are here, and we are going to tell you all about photos and how the photo organizing program came to be. We're going to talk about our history with photos growing up, some of the favorite albums that we've made along the way, our journey with Creative Memories, what's inside the new photo organizing program, why we're partnering with Creative Memories again, and how you can take advantage of all these different things that we're doing with photos. So Emily, welcome to the Organized 365 podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this today.
So Emily and I honestly are enjoying doing these podcast episodes together. So if you have more topics that you would like to hear us talk about and just chit chat about growing up, I think we had a fairly unusual childhood. We definitely grew up in a bubble, wouldn't you say, Emily?
Yeah, yes, for sure.
I liked the bubble, actually.
I have friends who still try and make sure the bubble is intact.
Yes. We just had a very unique childhood, like being children of multi-generational entrepreneurs on both sides, growing up in the Midwest. I just think there are a lot of things from our childhood that people would love for us to unpack. So if that's the case, just send me an email, and Emily and I both like to talk, so I'm sure you'll see it on a podcast.
Yes.
So we're going to start by talking about our thoughts on photos. And Emily and I are both very passionate about photos. I think part of it is I have always been an avid learner about history in general, heritage. We are daughters of the American Revolution on my mother's side. So all the way back to before the United States became an independent country, our people were here. And then on my father's side, my family immigrated in the early 1900s from Ireland. And both of those families have their lineage traced all the way back into like the 1500s. So we know a lot about our family on both sides. And we have photos that represent those and large families on both sides. And so just the idea of family and photos and history and heritage has always been super, super important to me. And I know to you as well, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And the tangible representation of those past generations and current generations would be in photos. Our mom is amazing at cultivating memorable experiences. Like if there was one thing I could say about our childhood, it is that my mom was extremely conscious and proactive in creating cultural experiences, memorable experiences, family experiences. Like she did not do it by chance or happenstance. The trips we took, the people we met, the things we did were all planned, and I'm very grateful for that. I try to do that for my children as well. And she would capture all of those things in photos. And it was probably, I must have been in early high school. Emily, you must have been in like right before middle school when mom decided to organize all of our photos. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What a project. But so, no project is too big for mom or you.
Yes, that's true. I get my project loving from mom. So yes. We grew up in a ranch style house. So we had a living room, dining room, family room, kitchen, and then three bedrooms upstairs, which meant that in a ranch style house, your basement's huge because it's the size of your house. And part of that was our garage, but still the basement was really, really big and it was finished. And this must have been after mom had sold her business. Mm-hmm. Had to have been. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. So my mom sold her business when I was in eighth grade. And this was probably the year after that. She needed a project. So she decided to take all of our printed photos and put them in chronological order and put them into just generic slide in the album scrapbooks, you know, just where you just take the photos and you slide them in so that you could just flip and look at the photos. No journaling, no stickers, no nothing. It took her a year.
That was a solid year. Before scrapbooking was really a big push, you know, like knitting circles and things. Yeah. You know what I mean? How those things cycle. Scrapbooking hadn't really become a thing yet, right. I don't think, at that time. That was just her own idea.
1985. This would have been 1985. So that was her project of the year. Like, she was going to organize all these photos. And when you went into the basement, there were piles of photos everywhere by year, by subject. And I think as she was doing that, she was like, well, I'm going to pull all the vacation photos out. I'm going to pull all the Christmas photos out. So it wasn't 100% by year. She also decided to pull out based on different seasonality. And I watched her do that. We obviously were in school, but this was a big project that she did. Another thing she did before this is she was really good at creating photo collages and giving photo gifts. So we had a wall in our basement that had some really cool photo collages that I have in my basement now, which were like all the pictures of us with Daddy and all the pictures of us with her and all the pictures of just us as sisters. Like, she was always really big into photos. And then the one other memory that I have from this time is that our school photos, when I first became a creative memories consultant, people would say, I can't find the school photos. And I was like, oh, they're all in the same frame. So we had two frames in our family room that would have our school picture in it, but they were oval. And because they were oval, every time we got our 8x10 school picture, you had to cut it to put it in that frame. And when you went to put the new picture in the frame, you just put it on top of the old one. So if you wanted to see all of your school photos, you just took the frame down and they were all in there. Like, and at the time I didn't think anything of it. But then later when I was a creative memories consultant, I was like, oh yeah, not the best way to store all your kids' school photos.
Right.
So along the way, I went to college. I went to Miami University. I graduated from Miami University. I started teaching here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, like since the time I was 8.
Born.
Yes, right. Always. And so I was like, well, we're probably going to need some income. So I need to join a direct sales company. And this would have been probably 1992, about 1992, maybe. Oh, no, I would have graduated. So 1995.
That makes sense because my first album I made with you was my high school album and I graduated in 94. So that would have been about right.
Yeah. So 1995. And my mom had been listening to Focus on the Family and she heard an interview on there of Rhonda Anderson about creative memories. And I was in love with Longaberger baskets, as we all know from my Sunday basket story. So I had tons of Longaberger baskets. I had already done Mary Kay as a company. You guys, I have been in 31 direct sales companies. I love direct sales, if we could say that. So I was 23 years old, and I was looking for what company could I join. It was down to Longaberger or Creative Memories. I think you were at that dinner, Emily, and Dad was there, and I mm-hmm. told him about both businesses, and he said, baskets will come and go, but everyone will always want to organize their photos, whether they're mm-hmm. 8 or 80. You will always have clients if you do Creative Memories. So mm-hmm. I joined Creative Memories. And the first year, I really just kind of did my own albums. And then year two is when I really started to grow it as a business. So what do you remember from that time of my obsession with photos?
I remember I loved it. I loved coming to your house and bringing all my stuff and working in your basement with the stickers. And it was so right up my alley just because I love crafts and little art project type things. And so I remember, like I said, the first album I made was about high school because that's how old I was. I think I had just graduated high school. Is that right? I had just graduated high school when I started making the albums because I made albums with you for a long time before I joined the team. So first one I made was my high school album. And you can tell the difference when you see the albums I made towards the end versus the albums I made towards the beginning, all the things I learned about how to do it right and not make it look so, you know, but just had a blast. I remember that just being so much fun, bringing all that stuff to your house and working on it down there for, you know, come for a weekend to do it together.
Yeah. And I should say, I forgot about this, but do you remember that store that we used to go to down in the valley to buy stickers by the foot?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm in that moment right now. I can see it all.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there was this store and you could go and they had rolls of stickers and they were Mrs. Grossman stickers, and Mrs. Grossman stickers are photo safe. Like they always have been. So we would go, and I had, Emily, do you remember your sticker book?
Oh yeah.
You had the book to scratch
and sniff. Yes. We had the one where you could push on it and there was water in it. Remember those?
Yeah,
and
they had like an oil in them
sometimes. Yes. And ruin them all. That was the worst. Some had sparkles on them.
Oh my gosh. I have a letter that you sent me my first year in college, and you did it with those stickers.
Aw.
And you had all, I'll have to go find it. Well, it's in a scrapbook. I can find it right away. You wrote me this story, and there were all these stickers in there as you wrote me this story at college. But we loved stickers. And I told the story about how my mom would decorate Christmas presents one year with stickers. Like she did sticker collages. You should know, my mom is an art major from Purdue University. So she's an artist. I am not an artist. So when I first started Creative Memories, my mom loved it because it was artistic. Like she could be very, very artistic in her albums. And in the beginning, I tried to be very artistic in my albums as well. And over time, I realized that I'm just more of a traditional, classic, timeless scrapbooker. Like I want the words to be with the pictures and a little bit of color on the page to pull out of the picture what you want to see in the picture, but I'm not as decorative as some scrapbookers are. So yeah, stickers by the foot, Mrs. Grossman. It's like all the things came together in Creative Memories for us.
Yes, for sure.
So I was in Creative Memories, I think 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in there a long, long time. Well, I had a pretty big team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I made it through the first bankruptcy, and I opted out during the second bankruptcy, which at the end of this podcast, we'll fill you in about that. But along the way, you were living in Akron, Ohio. I was living in Cincinnati. I was growing my team. You were growing your team also. I was doing a lot of workshops. But you were the very first of the two of us to do an album for someone else and be paid for that. Do you remember that?
Yes. So at that time, I had gone back to school for teaching to Ashland University to get, they were the only school in the nearby area that would give me what was called a bachelor's plus. So I didn't have to start all the way back at the beginning and take all those basket weaving classes and all that, you know? So I was going to Ashland to get my teaching degree, and I was homeschooling an affluent family that lived in Massillon, which is like, so I would go to Ashland, which is 45 minutes like southeast. And then they were 45 minutes southwest. So I would be like in a triangle every day doing what I was doing. And she, such an awesome family. They built in their basement a classroom for these two kids 1 year apart. And I did fourth and fifth grade homeschooling for them. And in the process, I was also doing a concierge business. I was helping Mrs. Haynes decorate her house for Christmas and doing her Christmas cards and just, but you know, like when you were cleaning houses and doing whatever it took, I was the same thing, like whatever I could do to make money, and also running my Creative Memories business at that time. And so Mrs. Williams asked me to make these albums for her kids. And she basically just filled my trunk full of shoe boxes and hat boxes and everything she had with the pictures. And I remember I had like six of those 6 feet tables set up in my basement, spread out, and not having children, it was harder for me than, you know, the stages of how old they are when they have a bottle or a Nook or they're walking or they're not, whatever. But I would at least get them into the same, you know, okay, they look the same age here, or she's got the same haircut there or whatever, and get them all organized in order. And gosh, I want to say I made 10 or 15 albums for her over the course of that time. And the kids love them, still look at them. And loved it.
Yeah, it's kind of like when I was professionally organizing and I was going and I was professionally organizing in people's houses, and then we get to the fourth or fifth appointment and they would cancel and they would say, well, we figured it out. We did it on our own. And I realized, oh, organizing is a learnable skill. Like, not only was I professionally organizing, but it was a learnable skill. Kind of the reverse happened with Creative Memories, in that I was teaching people how to do their photos, how to sort their photos, how to get it done. And then you showed me, or there are some people that'll just have you do it for them. And I was like, oh, I can like also make albums for people, like game on. So it was another Akron family that hired me, a Fortune 500 company. We were very close with their company, and they had me make a retirement album when the founder was going to retire. So that was the first one that I made on my own without doing it for someone, just like you. Like, they weren't with me. All I had were all the photos and everything. And I remember I did that one up at home and I laid it out in that ranch style house. We had a galley kitchen. And so it was a really long, thin kitchen. It was great for laying out all the different pages so we could kind of walk through and see them. And mom knew this company, so she was able to help me get things in order as well. And the family was so, so happy with the album, and the company was so happy to have that album. We actually made duplicates of that album, so one album could stay with the company and one album could go to the founder. And we just did that with color copies. We just made color copies in one of the albums. And at the same time, we're going to talk about our favorite albums, but the first albums that we made with mom were the heritage albums that mm-hmm. I kind of alluded to earlier. It was all of the photos from my dad's family. They didn't go back very many generations because they just come to the United States in the early 1900s. But on mom's side, the photos went way back. We had some really old photos, like tin photos and cardboard photos. And so mom made those albums, you know, we all made them together. And then she duplicated them for all of the siblings. So my dad's the oldest of six and my mom is the oldest of five. And so we make color copies of all of those albums. So everyone in the family, and now we've digitized them. So all of the cousins also, everyone has all of the heritage albums. Photos, which I think is so, so awesome. And over time, I have made custom albums for people. I don't do it anymore. I love it. It's like a real life jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. There was one year I made 21 albums for a family who, her husband had passed away and he had been in politics in the state of Ohio. And I took his entire life and put it into photos, including I had the cufflinks from the White House in my house for a while that Ronald Reagan had handed him in the Oval Office. I mean, like, those I still
pretty special albums.
Cannot believe I had those in my house. Yeah, wow. And we took photos of those and put those in there as well. Many White House photos, a lot of campaign buttons from elections in the 70s and 80s, presidential elections. Super, super cool, super fun. Really a really gigantic jigsaw puzzle.
It was.
So we've done albums for ourselves. We've done albums for other people. Let's talk about and we've alluded to this a little bit, creating albums together as a community. I think one of the reasons why we loved Create a Memory so much was not just the albums, but it was the community. We had a community with the consultants that were on our team. We had a community with the people that we were making scrapbooks with. We had a community with Creative Memories as a company that felt so much like a family. Like, even though the conventions were huge, like, you just felt like when Rhonda Anderson was talking, she was talking directly to you. Like, she just has the ability to make you feel like you're the only person in the room. She's so down to earth. She's so loving. She's so real. And one of the things, in Cincinnati, Ohio, one of the original six founders is here in Cincinnati, and the factory where they actually used to make the albums is here in the Cincinnati area, in the northern Cincinnati area. And so people here were having this thing called Winter Wonderland. So I started having one too. And this is where you would go away for the weekend and you go to a cabin in the middle of the winter and you would bring all your photos and all of your scrapbooking supplies and you would literally scrapbook round the clock, and it was potluck and we had a big fire. So, so much fun. What do you remember about the Winter Wonderlands that I used to do?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I thought that was your idea. I didn't realize that was someone else.
No, a couple of girls down here were also doing it.
Okay. Well, I know that we loaded up the car with everything under the sun related to scrapbooking, which took up half the car. And then everybody brought all kinds of goodies. You know, it wasn't like you just brought cheese and crackers. I mean, there was a whole like wall of food from snacks to desserts. And then we had always, you know, there was a meal too at lunch and dinner, I think. I don't know. I remember if they did breakfast or not, but so we were eating. There was a big fire. Sometimes we would roast marshmallows in there. And the music, we would listen to 80s music, and you had like a big long table, and then whomever was right around you, you know, you'd maybe help them like, what do I do on this page? I don't know. And then you'd be like, oh, I would do this or that, you know, and just helping each other. And then you would do, I can't remember how often it was, but every couple hours you would do a special like, okay, here's how you make this border thing with these stickers and these patterns. And if you want to buy that, here's the setup for that. And then every couple hours, it was like learning new tricks for stuff that you wanted to do, whether it was either being creative or like, here's how you make a portrait page, or here's how you make a fold out page, or, you know, all those special tricks. So much fun.
So much fun. Little gifts, stay up little so surprises.
Late. Yeah. I think there was a prize for the person who stayed up the latest.
And then we would have like all kinds of prizes. And then we had like pajama contests, and and I remember on Sundays it was optional, but we would have a service that I would do, and I would just like share a message, and then I'd play a couple of songs. It was optional, but almost everybody came. For some people, that was the most memorable part for them. They'd never been in any kind of a church type service like that before, that wasn't so formal, that was more laid back. That's really meaningful also. And so we did that once a year. And then every single month I had a workshop at my house, and you had workshops at your house. And a lot of consultants did that because that was the model. The model was set up that you would do a home show and you would introduce people to the concept of creative memories. And if they wanted to make albums, then they would join you for your monthly workshops. And that's where they would get it done. Like, I think that model was set up so well, not just selling the creative memories products, but also knowing that people would need time and instruction and a place to go do it. Like, before we got on this call, I was like, I need an office. I need an office. I got to get out of this house so I can, like, because the kids and the holidays. And so I think that idea of a dedicated time and place in order to do your albums once a month was key. And so all of these things are in my head as I'm starting Organize 365 and I'm doing professional organizing in people's homes. And I'm like, well, we can't organize your kitchen at my house, but paper is portable. And if I could get people to start bringing paper to my house once a month, I know they can get through that. It'll be more economical for them. It'll be more community building for them. And I'll be able to reach more people at one time versus going into everybody's individual homes. And that's where the paper organizing retreats came from as well. They're just like Winter Wonderland, only they've been done three times up until this point. I'll be doing one more in April, and then I am not going to keep doing them, but the certified organizers all around the United States and in Canada are going to keep doing them, so you could find them closer to your house than where I'm doing them in Cincinnati, Ohio. But that is where my idea for having monthly Sunday basket workshops and quarterly or every trimester paper organizing retreats came from.
And now that the certified organizers have the photo program and have learned how to teach that to others, some of them, that will be a part of their retreats also. So it's kind of like the Winter Wonderland is getting new life.
Yes, yes, yes. So we'll talk about that at the end. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, before we go on, I want to talk about some of our favorite albums, because I know that when you hear about creating albums, and if you want to make digital albums, we are 100% on board with that, but we do not have a support program for that. We only have a support program for physical paper, physical photos. I just think analog. It's all physical based. So for me, it's physical, tactile albums. Emily and I are each going to share our top three. So I already mentioned these heritage albums that Mom had us help her with, and we created for both of our families and then digitized. Those were hugely meaningful to me because Mom is so good at journaling. And Emily, I think you were going to mention about Mom's journaling. Why don't you talk about how she journaled those albums?
Well, I think it's important to note that just because it's so important. You know, when you get a card in the mail from your grandmother, you know it's from grandma because of the handwriting. And so I remember when we taught creative memories, teaching people how to put their photos in albums, that's always where people got stuck. Like, but I don't like my handwriting. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. That's what people know you by. So write it down, you know? And so Mom really took that to heart, being the straight A student that she is. And so, but she would like make take a ruler and make lines with her pencil. And then write the journaling in pencil, and then go over it with a pen, and then erase all the pencil.
Yes.
And it does not have to be that labor intensive, but my goodness, was it
perfect.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. So later I was journaling in my albums and mom would read them and she'd be like, some of these details are wrong. And I said, well, the albums last 200 years, so this is what future generations are going to know. And from that point forward, she stopped using the pencil and started writing her stuff down faster.
Didn't she say you'd keep the fact checkers yes. busy? She said earlier in the thing, you're like, she's the oldest of five. I'm like, no, oldest of two.
Well, there are five with the second marriage. So all five of those people yes. got those yes. albums.
That was such a cool gift. That was so special.
It was such a cool gift. Yes, my mom, I always say, well, maybe I'll run for politics. And mom says, well, you'll keep the fact checkers busy. So anyways, those are our heritage albums. And then the most meaningful album I made very quickly after I started Creative Memories were our adoption books. So back in the late 1990s, when you wanted to adopt a baby, it may be the same now, probably is the same now. If you're going to do an open adoption, you would make like a letter to the birth mother and you'd include some photos. And most letters are, I don't know, probably 3 to 5 pages long with photos included. And I was like, oh, we have to make a sales presentation. Great. I'll make albums. So I bought Creative Memories 8.5 by 11 albums. And I created 10, because you had to make 10 letters. I created 10 original scrapbooks. Like, it didn't even color copy them. I had 10 copies of every photo I wanted printed, put in there. I hand wrote out on 10. And I turned in 10 scrapbooks to the agency.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So we got a baby pretty quickly. And then I did the same thing for Abby. And so the kids have the adoption album books that their birth mothers would have looked at when they were picking to put them
That's
into
cool.
our
I've
family.
Never seen them. I would love to see that next time.
Yeah, they're down here. You can see them. And then my third favorite albums I made were vacation albums. So in Creative Memories, we could earn incentive trips. And I started earning the incentive trips and Greg and I would go and wow, they were amazing. Like everything about those incentive trips was amazing, including the fact that you didn't have to pay for anything while you were on them. And it, especially since our children were younger, it was just so nice to be able to say, nope, Greg and I have to go away because I've earned the trip and there's no cost involved. All we need is coverage and childcare. And those were really memorable trips as well. So being able to put those into an album and Greg and I to look back at those trips is very meaningful for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were special. I think I only earned one. It was to San Diego, which is my favorite place. But I remember a lot about that trip. It was yeah. awesome.
Didn't you get to go on like an air jet? Wasn't there a jet or something that you went to?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They took us to Top Gun.
Yes.
And we got to, yep. And we got to meet all the guys and stand up on the plane and get a picture with them and everything.
You have
that
to have
was a
one,
really
Emily.
Special night.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
I met
cool.
a pretty special guy at that thing. Yeah. I felt very like, whoa.
Yeah. It
yeah.
Fun.
It was cool.
How about your albums?
We went to, it could have been the San Diego Zoo. But anyways, they had this exhibit of orchids that was probably as big as my house or bigger. And I never realized orchids are one of my favorite flowers. And I never knew there were so many different kinds. Everywhere, the whole thing, it was so beautiful. Anyway, so that yes, that was an awesome trip to San Diego. So my favorite albums, I would say not by rank order necessarily, but when I think of my favorite album, I think the album I made about 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I made that and I've never wanted children, but I always thought if I did have them, I would want them to know what happened that day, where I was, how I felt, what the country was, you know, like at that time and all of that. So every year on 9/11, I pull out that album and read it again. And it's amazing how much you forget over time, even year to year. And in the back, I have a envelope where I have folded up and put in there the speech that George Bush gave to the country. And so I always read that too. So I love that.
And did you do it in a little album? Mm-hmm. The little, yeah.
Little so, Glory.
Yeah, it was a tiny little album and they put a American flag on it that you could buy. And Darlene is the one that got all those photos for us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because she worked at GE. And so, I don't know, she understood the computer more than us. And yeah. she's such a researcher. She combed the internet and pulled all the photos. And then we all printed out the same photos. She found the best photos and we all printed those all out.
Oh, I've always wondered. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorites, just because it's definitely documenting history. And then I would say the other two that I have are kind of unique because, you know, I had started with my high school album. I went through, I did my childhood album. I kept up then because I was pretty, you know, starting right on time. I did two albums for college and then I would just start making them until they were full and make them until they were full of my life, my parties, my friends, you know, whatever I'm doing. And then I didn't have anything else to do. So I had to make up something to do. So what I did was an album of, it starts with the story of our family immigrating from Ireland. And I think there's a poem or a prayer there about that. And then it's about Grandma and Grandpa Gill. And it starts with Daddy's family, just going back that, you know, to our great grandparents and then talk about them. Babe and Love, we called Daddy's parents Babe and Love. Lisa started that. They called her Babe and Love, so she called them Babe and Love. And then Daddy. And, like, for our family, when you had a big birthday, Mom made those books where she would send out, like, a request for you to send a letter back or a card or, you know, whatever, that she was going to put together this special book for Daddy's 50th I can't remember what year your birthday it was. I think maybe my 21st. I can't remember what the year was, but either way. And then all these loved ones wrote you letters with either advice about graduating from college, I think was the one when we got ours. Or just character things about you and what they love. It's such a special gift. And so I would take what I had written for those books and put them in this book. So it goes back from great grandparents on that side to Daddy and then Mom and Dad, and then about Mom and Mom's family all the way. And I think in the middle there is you, and I had what I had written in your book and pictures of us from childhood and things like that. So I love to look through there, and that's like my version of the heritage, because it also, it's not just the pictures and a little bit of journaling. It's really like, here's what this person was like. Here's what I treasure about my relationship with that person or what I learned from them and all of that. So I love that book.
It's and more then, like a private diary than a public heritage album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, you would love to see what your pages are. I know you have in the past, but you'd love to read it, you know.
I do.
And then the other one is just all about me and kind of, like you said, journaling. It has my mission statement, a couple photos. I used to go in the valley. There's just so – in Akron, we live in the like the nature realm is right next door. This is a national park, which I also took for granted till I taught fifth grade and realized that not everyone has a national park in their backyard. And I was like, wow, we really are lucky. So it's beautiful. Every season it's beautiful. The trees, even in the winter with the snow, it's pretty. So I would try and get in the same area every season to take a bunch of photos and then put scriptures or quotes or things like that in that album. So it's really more of like a roots and a grounding and a here's who I am kind of book. And it's just mainly for me, but that's one of my favorites too.
I know you guys are probably like, oh my gosh, is she ever going to get to the photo program? Like, why do we have to know so much about the Kelly children's lifestyle? but I think that when you really get to the end of your life, it is the memories that are what's left. Mm-hmm. It is the purposeful time that you took to record and to spend time with the people who are most important to you that lasts after you're gone. Like all of the things that we remember about our grandparents who have passed are the holidays that we spent with them, the vacations that we took with them, the stories that they told us, the houses that they lived in that we played in the basement of, or the crawl space, or the smells. Like that's what we remember. We don't remember who they worked for or what they did or what they did day to day or what they ate for breakfast. Like we remember those, I guess, big, more memorable events. And when you really think about it, there aren't that many of those per year. If you take a vacation a year, I mean, you're extremely blessed. Most people don't take a vacation every year. How you celebrate the holidays every year, there just aren't that many holidays. It seems like there are, but there really aren't. And I think what I love about photos most is I am creating the history in those books that my kids will remember after I'm gone. And that our extended family will remember after we're gone. And the other thing is, when we first started doing this, there was a minister and a therapist I don't remember exactly who it was, but he is a marriage counselor. And he said, if everyone had a creative memories album, there wouldn't be divorce. Mm. Because when you look at the albums, it's all the good mm-hmm. and it's none of the bad. And mm-hmm. so the fact that my kids have these albums and they can look back and they could see all of the good of their childhood and none of the bad, I love that. Like, mm-hmm. I love that they will do that. And the book that you're talking about, Mom made for us for our high school graduation, were the letters. And I think it was for Dad's 50th yeah, birthday right. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Letters that people wrote to us. I know that I go back and I look at that book. I did it mm-hmm. for Greg as his wedding gift. Mm-hmm. You guys, bad wedding gift. So I give him that as a wedding gift as soon as we get back to the hotel after we've been married. And he's bawling and he's like, aww. Why'd you give me this now? He's reading all these letters like, FYI, bad timing on that gift. I'm just going to say that's yeah. not exactly when you give a gift like that. But how often do we take the time to truly tell people just in one page mm-hmm. what they mean to us
yeah.
and what's unique about them and special about them? And, mm-hmm. you know, growing up, our parents did a really good job of that with mm-hmm. us. Like, I have every letter that my mom and dad have ever given to me that are in handwriting, and I have them in a book. I have every card Greg has ever given to me and the notes that he's written in there. And I don't read them very often, but I know in the future I will. Like, mm-hmm. I know when I'm in my 80s and 90s and whatever, I will still be reading those letters. I know after Dad passed away, it was a couple of years mm-hmm. later, I went through and I reread all of those. And, you know, when you write letters to people, even if they're just on, you know, a 3x5 index card and you think it's 5 or 6 sentences, it's not a big deal. There are certain things that my mom and dad would often say over and over again inside of those letters that are my true character that are coming out in written word. Mm-hmm. And so that is why I am so passionate about a physical scrapbook with physical photos and, most importantly, the handwriting. If you're going to take all of your photos and just put them in chronological order and put them in a scrapbook, I'm not that interested in that. I'm really much more interested in the story. And as we were talking about how I started Creative Memories and picked Creative Memories over Longaberger, it reminds me of why I started Organize 365. So Dad is the best salesman I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I would say I probably have some sales skills. Mm-hmm. However, I physically cannot sell something that I don't think provides value. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things I could sell and I could make a lot of money, but I just don't. Like, I don't have ads on my podcast. I don't have ads on my website. I don't do sponsored posts. Like, there are a lot of ways I could have made money over the years when I really needed to make money that I never did because I was growing a different kind of company. Mm-hmm. So I know that the Organize 365 products are expensive. I don't pretend that they're not. But I know that when you buy them, you get the transformation that you're paying for. And I knew that in Creative Memories also. When people would buy the album for me, I would follow up like it was my job, because it was, that once they bought the album, I wanted them to make the album. I did not want to sell albums. I wanted to sell albums so people would complete them, so they would buy another one, so that their family would have the transformation and the heritage. So this is a perfect, perfect alignment with our company. So Emily said we had to come up with the photo program. I'm like, why? People can just photos and albums. And she goes, no, we need a photo program. So now we're going to get into the photo program. Emily, why did we need to create our own photo program?
So I love this. So we do the Voxer. Your audience knows about Voxer, right?
Yeah, V-O-X-E-R. It's like a messaging app.
Walkie-talkie thing. And sometimes it'll go a little while and Lisa won't. And then all of a sudden it'll be like, hey, so are you busy tonight? I have some ideas. Next thing you know, it's like 6 hours later and we have do-do-do-do-do-do-do. For the whole night. And so this was one of those nights. And I can't remember how it came up. It wasn't like, should we do a photo program? We were talking about other ideas and other things to do. I think at that time, one of them was one of the employees really wanted us to come out with a corporate training program. Uh-huh. And I was like, yes, but no, we were doing our like R&D on that. And I had strong opinions about that. But I just basically said, you know, we should stick to organizing things. Yep. And the one thing that really is missing in our offering is photos, because everybody has photos. maybe not millennials, but they will receive passed down from their parents or grandparents, definitely eventually. And most people do not know how to do that. It's extremely overwhelming. So just as overwhelming as, oh my gosh, I need to organize my whole house. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, look at all these photos. It's overwhelming. And I'm like, Lisa, you know exactly how to do that. She's like, I don't know. I'm just as good as everybody else. I'm like, no, you're not. You are the best. You know, when you did Creative Memories, you were in the top 6% for a reason, you know, and you had that big team for a reason. And going back to what you were just sharing about the two things. One, you were sharing about how you make your albums, you know, not so artistic and not so many stickers and things like that. And that is what helps people get to those completed albums. Like you said, mm-hmm. you didn't want to sell a bunch of albums to sit in a closet somewhere. You wanted to sell albums so that people could read those stories to their children and that that could be passed on to generations. And so the way that you do photo albums is it's empowering to be able to complete the albums, just like the 100 Day Home Organization Program. Everybody can do 15 minutes a day, you know, mm-hmm. and even if you can't, you can do five, or you can do 5 hours on a Saturday, you know, or whatever, but it's manageable to go through your whole house 15 minutes a day. And the photo organizing is manageable the way that you do it. First, we do this, then we do mm-hmm. that, then we do that, and then lastly, we're done, you know, and move on to the next one. So I was very passionate about the fact that we needed this, that I thought it would be really impactful for people, that it would be the perfect program for you to teach. And so I said, we must. And I kept it on a, and I typed out all the Voxer's notes and a couple pages typed up after that and kept them in my little back pocket because I was very camped on the fact that this was something that needed to be.
Yeah. And you know, I've been pretty public, especially on social media, saying that Organize 365 is done with products. Like this photo organizing product is the last one that we are going to be creating for quite a long time. I don't know what the next one will be. As far as I'm concerned, we're done. And that's, again, along the line, I will sell you what you need, but I'm not going to sell you what you don't need. Mm-hmm. And if we had come out with this photo organizing program a couple of years ago, I don't think it would have been as good. The content would have been exactly the same. But the reason why I don't think it would have been as good is because organization is a learned skill. And you learn getting organized by doing the Sunday basket. And then you move on to the 100 day. And then you do the hot mess room and the all access program. And you start making all your binders and you get all that organized. And every time you get organized, what you get back in return is time. Mm-hmm. So when you get the Sunday basket done, you get 5 hours every week. Every single week to do something with. And you use that time and you invest it in the 100-day program. And then when you're done with the 100-day program, now you have that original 5 hours plus however much other time you have from having an organized house. Let's say it's 7 to 10 hours now a week. And you invest that in getting your paper done. And then you move on. Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. If you want to organize all of your photos, it is going to take a year. Like, it's going to take a year. And I want to give you that realistic expectation because I don't want you to think that, oh, I'm just going to take my 15 minutes a day. You'll be doing it for 6 years. I'm just telling you. However, it'll be just like organizing where you're like, oh, okay, I'll give it 15 minutes a day and I'll do my organizing. And then at the end of the year, you're like, I love organizing. You're going to love photos at the end as well. Now, you can just organize one album. Like I said, you could make an adoption book, a vacation album. You could do a heritage album. You could pick one album and just do it. But the way we have this photo organizing program organized is we teach you how to take all of your photos and how to get them organized in boxes so that when you're ready, you could pull out each album and then do those independently. And the best way to organize your photos is to just say, hey, family, can we buy into this? This is going to be a year or however long it's going to be, and I'm going to do it in the dining room or the corner of the family room or the corner of my bedroom or wherever it's going to be, and you're going to set up a table, and that is going to be where you're going to do that, and this is going to be your year of getting all the photos in the house organized in one place. So we have the program divided out into sorting photos, making an album, and then which products we like to make an album. Should we go step by step, Emily?
Yeah, I think so, because it helps to know that there is a system. It's not just like, okay, and now here's some fancy trimmers. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
right,
there
right.
is a system to it. And You can be as fancy and as crafty as you want to be. And you can mm-hmm. take all the time if you want to make it a hobby to mm-hmm. do that and to enjoy that. But you can also make it a less painful experience, making sure that those things are documented for your family quickly and easily through the step-by-step system. So first and foremost, getting everything in one place, getting those things organized. Lisa talks about, those milestone things that I mentioned, how you can set things in order of age and date and things like that. And I think also real quick, another, if you're going to make one album, I like the idea of just making a Christmas album.
Yes.
And we had some clients on both sides that did that because they were just overwhelmed by all of the photos. Mm-hmm. So just pull all your Christmas ones out. And then you can at least say the changes through the years. And then you've got at least one picture from every year. So sorting, eliminating duplicates, just like decluttering, you always feel like, is it okay to get rid of this extra ice cream scoop? I don't know. Yes, it is. And same thing with the duplicates. People feel like, are you sure? Yes. Unless you're going to make a bunch of albums for other people. So that, Lisa okay, talks about, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So we're going to start with what your photo sorting goal is. So there are a couple of different goals you can have. And in the video, we'll talk about those. But are you going to organize all your photos for all time? That's one kind of a goal. Or are you going to do like Emily said, I'm just going to go through everything we have and find all the Christmas pictures and make a Christmas album. You can make a Hanukkah album. You can make a vacation album. One thing that your family does every single year, and you know that you have taken photos of that thing over time, and cherry pick those out as if they are, you're sorting edge pieces on a puzzle and you're going to make that album and get done. So step one, once you've decided what your photo organizing goal is to sort. And we have four steps inside of sorting. We're going to collect all of your photos and memorabilia in one place. This is going to take some time and some space. And why we waited to come out with the photo program is because quite a few of you have gone all access and you are all done. And you're like me and you have all the hours. Now that you have hours and space and rooms that are empty, you have space to do this. So we're going to pull all of those photos and all the memorabilia into one space. Then I talk to you about how you're going to identify those photos, who's in them, what age are they, what decade. There are different ways you can look at photos and do that. Then you're going to do gross sorting. So you're going to sort like into big tubs or laundry baskets. Like, okay, this is all this side of the family. This is all Christmas photos. This is all vacation photos. This is all school photos. And just do big group sorting. And you're also going to learn how to eliminate duplicates. This is super, super hard. So funny. I mean, now we take digital photos and we don't even print any of them out. But if the photos are already printed and in front of us, it's super, super hard to throw any of them away. I don't know why that is. Why is that? So how do you eliminate duplicates and what do you eliminate? So you'll notice in that whole sort section, we're not making anything. We're just basically getting everything in one room and we're going to sort them. Then phase two is how to make an album. Quick albums, and I show you examples of my albums, and I literally flip through them so you could see all the different kinds. And then I take you through how I have made over 300 albums. I make albums relatively quickly, and it is because I use this same system for every single album. So I sort all the photos, and then when I have the photos for an album, the first thing I do is I cut all of them. I do not need to know what the page is going to look like, and I show you exactly what that looks like. I actually make it in front of you. I cut all of the photos, and then we're going to lay them out on these cardboards called power layout cardboards. The lady in Dayton, Ohio that created that concept was a good friend of mine, and then she sold that concept to Create a Memory. So you buy these cardboards through Create a Memory, but she actually created it in her house. It's so cool. How you lay out those albums, how you decide what's going to go on one pages. Then we talk about if you want to decorate and add stickers. And after I show you how I do my albums, you'll go back and watch those videos you watched before and be like, oh my gosh, she's right. All the albums are exactly the same. When you watch the videos the first time, you're like, oh my gosh, that takes so much creativity. They're decorated so much differently. And then after I show you how I do it and you go back and you watch those same exact ones, you'll be like, they're all the same. How did I not realize the decorating is all the same in all of the albums? And then you put the album together and then you do the journaling, which is of course the most important part. Anything you wanted to add to that, Emily?
No, I think that's great.
Yeah. So in doing this step-by-step, almost like the assembly line process of doing albums, you end up saving 70% of your time. So you could do albums three times faster using the system that I do, incorporating power layouts and and creating themes for your albums than if you were just doing page by page by page. Mm-hmm. All right. So we want to talk a little bit about why we are partnering with Creative Memories. And inside of the photo program, I show you why I use Creative Memories, different photo albums, tricks, special pages in there that I use. But if you go to the Creative Memories website, there's a lot of products. It's very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There are only a few products that I use, and I show you exactly the products that I use. And like, I don't use any of the punches and I don't use any of the border trimmers. And, I only use two sets of the templates. So I don't use very many of the Creative Memories products, but the Creative Memories products that I do use, I highly recommend from Creative Memories. I can't find them anywhere else, including the boxes that I sort photos into. All right, so why we're partnering with Creative Memories, and I think this is why this whole conversation started about me doing this album. Like, I know Janet, who ships you all of your stuff, was on my Creative Memories team, and she never left Creative Memories, even though I did. She is still in Creative Memories, and she got an email from Caleb Hayhoe, who is the owner of the company now, and they had created a new trimmer. And the trimmer was sold out too fast. And she forwarded me this email, and I read the email and I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like the Creative Memories I remember, because Creative Memories went through a bankruptcy, and then they went through a second bankruptcy. And after that bankruptcy, the company was sold. And I did not know this, but it almost went into a third bankruptcy. And before that happened, Caleb stepped in and bought the company. So last I knew, the company was still Anna and Zoe, and they had gone to these fast fab albums and digital albums and all of the stuff that did not interest me. So I was no longer in Creative Memories anymore. And when Janet sent me this email, the email was written like how I write you guys emails, like, we're so sorry. We did not anticipate that this would sell out so fast. Here's what we're doing to rectify the situation. And I was like, wow, like, this person understands like business today. What is going on? So I started Googling Caleb and found out a lot about this transition that Creative Memories had gone through that I did not realize they had gone through. So I'm going to share it with you, because I've been pretty public about how I left Creative Memories and now I'm back. So I'll tell you why. So Creative Memories made a shift when Caleb bought the company in a back to basics quality type situation. And these stats are from 2018. So in 2018, Creative Memories went from 1,100 employees to less than 100. I think they went all the way down to 40. And they went from 316,000 square feet down to a 31,000 square foot warehouse. Now, why this is important is because, you know, as you've gone through a couple of bankruptcies, the whole scrapbooking industry has shrunk hugely. Like, when we were in Creative Memories, there were like, even there was Archivers, you could go and you could scrapbook there. And every, like, Michael's had like half the store was scrapbooking. Like, you could find scrapbooking stuff everywhere. It's getting much harder to find scrapbooking stuff. And people still do scrapbook, but not to the level that they did 20 years ago. And at the height, when I was in Creative Memories, we had over 70,000 consultants. And currently, there are only 1,100 advisors. So the whole pool of the number of people selling Creative Memories has shrunk significantly. And that change in the amount of employees and how they do the manufacturing and fulfillment has changed as well. Creative Memories is currently selling in the United States, Canada, Australia, and Japan. And in this simplification process, there are a lot of things that changed in the Creative Memories model. If you did not know this, there are no longer consultants or titles or minimums or leadership requirements. Everyone in Creative Memories is an advisor, and you pay $45 a year to be an advisor, and you earn a flat commission based on the sales per month. That's it. It's a very simple business model. And they've combined the e-commerce selling with no inventory requirements. So back in our day, we would order $1,800 a month, and I would sell that, but not everybody would. Like, to be a leader, you had to order, maybe it wasn't $1,800. Why do I feel like it was $1,800 a month?
But that could be it.
I felt it was $1,800 a month. Anyway, we would have these amazing stores of inventory, which I personally loved, and mine was paid for, but most of the people I knew, theirs was not. And so they ended up buying inventory that they didn't need, and almost everyone I knew in Creative Memories was in debt. So there is not that possibility anymore, because there are no inventory requirements that people can order and have it shipped from Creative Memories as fast as getting from you. The other thing I love is that with the new shift in the company, it is really entrepreneur focused. So when I was in Creative Memories, I could not have sold Longaberger baskets and Creative Memories at the same party because those were two conflicting companies. That has gone away. So I, as Organized 365, can sell Creative Memories in conjunction with everything else that I'm doing, and I'm not breaking any policy. So I love, love, love that. And then the last thing is that Creative Memories has doubled down on the physical scrapbooking products industry. They are not doing the digital component. They have sold off that portion of the business. And that perfectly aligns with my physical photo memory program. I'm all about helping you organize your physical photos that are in boxes or are from past generations, and also for printing out the albums, printing out the photos that you have and putting those into albums for people to enjoy today. So I feel like our partnership with Creative Memories, when I went back in there, I was like, oh my gosh, all the old stickers are back, all the colors, all the albums, they're back to the traditional book cloth feel that I love. They'd gone to a different texture that I didn't enjoy so much. It's back to the classic company it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention why you chose them in the first place is that high level of quality as far as the photos lasting for generations. It's acid-free, mm-hmm. lignin-free, buffered paper. So you're for sure, if you do take the time and the energy and the effort and the investment to put these photos into Creative Memories albums, they're guaranteed to last like 200 plus years. So that's why we originally chose to partner with them instead of Michaels or Archivers, or, you know, they sell all kinds of things that you can embellish your album with, but is it going to make your photos deteriorate, which is counteractive?
Yeah. I'm definitely a historian by nature.
Like, yes, for sure.
To be archival. That reminds me when we used to go to the Creative Memories National Conventions. Do you remember me, Mark Meisen?
No.
Oh, he was the scientist. He would be the one that would test all the papers and everything.
You're so funny.
I just loved meeting Mark. And so many of my friends did too.
That was super fun, those conventions.
Yeah, really, really fun. So the Organized 365 photo program is priced similarly to the kids program. So it is $99 to buy the photo program if you're in the 100-day program or all access, and it's $299 to buy the program if you are not. And the reason why we do this pricing is because I know as a teacher, it is best to do a Sunday basket and then the 100 days and then all access and then add in the photo program or add in the kids program once you have taught yourself the basics of organizing. However, some of you may be professional organizers and you don't need my 100-day program and you just want to buy the photo program or you just want to buy the kids program. And so we give you the ability to do that. But if you've already bought into the whole Organized 365 line, then there is a cost savings. And then we have one other product that you could buy whether or not that you do the photo organizing program at all, and that is called our memorabilia binder. So the only thing that Creative Memories doesn't have that I had to find somewhere else is a faux leather 1-inch black binder that has 50 sheet protectors in it. And I use that to put in wills, and we have like the plot of the land that we had that the Ohio Turnpike now goes through was originally in our family farm and things like that. All those documents that you find in safe deposits, letters that are written, war letters. I'm trying to think what else I have in that binder. Just all that kind of, all that paper memorabilia that you don't want to actually stick on a page in a scrapbook or is written on front and back. You want to be able to remove it if you want to. That goes in the memorabilia binder. And we sell that for $35 or a set of three for $99. And you could find both of those items in the shop.
And I think it's important to mention too, inside of the photo program is a whole section on what to do with your memorabilia. You know, how you made those dolls with grandma's clothes.
And yes.
You have a lot of creative ways of saving special artifacts as opposed to just keeping them in a box. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great ideas in the program for those types of things also.
Yeah, and this is a living program just like our other ones. So if we come across other blog posts that we didn't realize were missing from the photo program or some new thing comes on the market, we'll just add it into the photo program just like we've done in the kids programs and All Access and all of the other programs as well. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in becoming a Creative Memories advisor, I would love for you to sign up under me. You just go to organize365.com/creative memories, and that will redirect you, or you can go directly to the Creative Memories website and type in Organize365 or Lisa Woodruff, and you will find our page there. And then Emily, do you want to talk about the Complete All Paper Certified Organizers a little bit?
Yes. So also a great opportunity for our certified organizers. So there are two levels of certified organizers. There is the Sunday Basket Workshop organizers who just teach the Sunday Basket. And then there are Complete All Paper Certified Organizers, and they are they have the permission to teach all of the paper organizing products in the Organize 365 line. And as a bonus, they have just received the photo program as this is being recorded in December, so that they can try it out and teach themselves how to put together these albums so that they are prepared when this podcast is coming out to you on January 17th, how to make your own albums and how to have that as a part of their retreats that are going to be coming out in 2020 and 2021 all over the country. So if you are interested in being a certified Sunday Basket Workshop organizer, you can find information about that on sundaybasketcertification.com, and you can join the wait list there. You can email Monique, M-H-O-R-B, at organize365.com with any questions that you have. You do have to be a certified Sunday Basket Workshop organizer first before you can be Complete All Paper, but we have had people sign up to be a Sunday Basket sister, we call them, and then the next day go all in. So it just depends on if you're a quick start or a slow start on how quickly you add those things on, but you certainly have the opportunity to teach others how to put their photos and albums and to have that fulfillment that Lisa and I talked about in the beginning, that camaraderie of helping people archive their heritage and also have fun doing it like we did at the Winter Wonderland and all the workshops we had. So be looking for those photo organizing retreats, paper organizing retreats in your area. You can find those at the big pink button at the bottom of any page on the Organize 365 website. And if you click on there, you can see the Sunday Basket Sisters and also the Complete All Paper Certified Organizers, or Retreat Trained, they're called. And there's a map there too, where you can see where they're located. And Monique does a good job of keeping that up to date so that you can see if there's anyone in your area very easily. And, or you can go to organize365.com/events. And that's mm-hmm. where we list all of their retreats when they have those scheduled. So love to have you join us for photo organizing.
All right, I'm going to add a couple of things while I'm doing this. Emily, can you look up the exact dates that we're going to have the certification program open in February?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yes, if you go to organize365.com/events, you're going to find Embrace, which we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks. Yes, I'm bringing Embrace back. It will be in June. You can go ahead and sign up. There's early bird pricing right now. And you will also see the April Paper Organizing Retreat, which may be sold out at this point, but go ahead and check it out for the last paper organizing retreat that I'm doing. And then below that, you will see the events that the All Paper Retreat Certified Organizers are having. And it's really easy. Just find the state that looks like the state that you live in. So I know we already have one in Washington. I know we have one in Florida. I'm sure there'll be more by the time that we actually publish this. So that's where you can find retreats that are all over the United States. And we have a few certified organizers that are retreat trained in Canada. But as I mentioned earlier, if you go all the way back to the beginning, when I started the certification program, I was saying you can come get your Sunday basket done at a Sunday basket workshop, or you can get all your paper done at a paper organizing retreat. But if you listen to Emily and I tell our story, what we loved about Creative Memories was the consistency of going to that workshop every single month. So you can go back to a Sunday basket workshop every single month if you want to hold yourself accountable to going through your Sunday basket. You can go to a paper organizing retreat 3 times a year or pick one of them that is most convenient for you and go every single year with your same paper organizing person. Do the binders the first time and then do your workbox the second time and then start working on your photos the third time if they want to have photos at their paper organizing retreat. They're little tiny papers, so it's just fine. You're the same size paper. So I like Creative Memories and partnering with these certified organizers in your area as entrepreneurs. They are going to run their companies differently. Every single one is going to have a different flavor, possibly different pricing, different hours, you know, what they're doing. They're licensing through Organize 365 the ability to teach the Sunday basket and then the ability to represent the binders and the workboxes and our photo program. But they are all unique, independent entrepreneurs with their own professional organizing businesses. And each one is going to have a little flavor. And as you get to know them, find out what other services they offer. Maybe they do custom photo albums. Maybe they do in-home organizing. Maybe they do corporate speaking, or on and on and on. So get to know the local organizer in your area and see what organizing opportunities they have for you. Emily, do you have those dates?
Yes. So you can go to organize365.com/masterclass and sign up for our masterclass all about the certification program. It's going to be held on February 4th at 1 p.m. If you cannot attend live, as long as you sign up, you will receive the replay within 48 hours of that masterclass. And Lisa and I and Monique will be talking all about the ins and outs and answering all the questions that we typically get. And then the program will be open the following day, February 5th through February 10th, which is a Monday. We always leave it open through Monday because you need to get either an EIN number or a domain name or something to legitimize your business before you sign up to be a certified organizer. And oftentimes people will decide on Sunday they want to do it and then say, dang nabbit, I don't have my EIN number. So we leave it open on that Monday the 10th so that if you need to do that last minute, you can. But so that'll be Wednesday through Monday, February 4th is the masterclass, the 5th through the 10th, the certification program will be open. And then it might not be open again.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted you to go ahead and give out those times. If you guys are listening to this real time, when we close the doors on February 10th, we do not know when we're going to be opening the certification program again. My bet would be it's going to be sometime in late 2021. So if this is on your list as something that you wanted to do, then I would sign up in February because it very likely will be 18 months before you're able to sign up again as a Sunday Basket Workshop certified organizer. And if you want to be retreat trained, you must sign up and come to that April paper organizing retreat because we train you on site. And since I'm not doing any more paper organizing retreats, as far as I know, I don't know if we're going to be doing any more retreat trained organizers. So if this is something you've been thinking about, think faster.
Yeah.
Take a right. decision.
Get your answers.
Because here's the thing. The answer is going to come one way or another. If you take right. no action, the answer will be, you are not one.
Right.
If you take some action, then the answer will be, there's a possibility you will be one. And we would love for you to join us in the certification program. I am a no pressure salesperson. So if it's right for you, if it's right for you, if it's not, it's not, but it is going to close and the opportunity is going to pass on by. So just make sure that you have decided that, yeah, this is not the right time for you. And if it's available in the future, that would be better timing for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's for, just to let them know, it's $475 to sign up. And then it's an annual renewal of $475 every year that you decide to continue to stay a Sunday Basket Workshop organizer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to Emily and I tell our story about how much we love photos and what's coming up next in Organize 365. Like I said, please feel free to email Lisa at organize365.com. Any ideas you have for Emily and I sharing more stories online. We love to go back into our childhood and share our stories with you.